221 at the bottom, 118 on top. What did you say? 10 lines at the bottom? Top. That makes more sense. Okay, last week we didn't learn. Let's review briefly what we learned 2 weeks ago. Okay, what? Oh. Okay, now Rebbe will start saying in chapter 42, he says, based on what we learned before, that every Jew has this fear of God and love of God, and you just have to reveal it. So he said, based on this, we can understand what the Talmud says, when it says in the Torah, it says, what does God want from you? All he wants is to fear God. And the Gemara says, is fear such an easy thing? The Gemara says, yeah, for Moshe it's easy. But the question is, Torah is speaking to us, not to Moshe. So how is it easy? So the Alter Rebbe starts explaining that Moshe Rabbeinu and the seven shepherds are the ones that feed. Not only are they called the faithful shepherd, but they're actually called the shepherd of faith. What do you mean a shepherd of faith? Shepherd grazes the flock, makes sure they eat, and so on. These great tzaddikim, the seven leaders of the Jewish people, you know, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, all those people, Shiva Reim, they're the ones that feed the Jewish people with belief. Meaning, what do you mean feeding? Internalizing. You internalize the faith. We were discussing last week, every Jew has faith. But nevertheless, like the thief breaking into the house, prays to God to be successful. So that means he has faith, but it's not internalized, and therefore he's going to be sinning. Because if faith is not affecting him directly, it's only affecting him indirectly. So he says the ultimate goal is for a person not only to understand God, but actually to feel God. And that's what these tzaddikim do. They instill within the person the feeling of God, not only the understanding of God. And now the Rebbe says, this is what we're in the middle of now. Every Jew has a Moshe within them. But it's hidden. That means the potential of feeling God, not only understanding God, but feeling God, every single Jew has. But it's hidden. So what he's saying now, we need two levels of work to reveal it. Okay? So he says like this. He said 10 lines in the top, yeah? Okay. That's what we're up to. 10 lines in the top. So he says, okay, you know what? Let's start 2 lines before that. He says, even though we have that level of feeling of Moshe Rabbeinu within us, but he says, because this soul comes into the body that covers and conceals and messes it up, you need a tremendous effort. Doubled. Meaning a very big effort. In other words, he says like this. Every Jew has this level of Moshe within them. You know what the problem is? It's covered with so much mud of the body and the animal soul and the world at large that in order to dig it out, you need a tremendous amount of work. You can't just blow at it and uncover it. You need actually to work. And he says, what's the Aveda? Ha'achas, he yegiyas basar. One level is the effort of the person, levate shesaguf, to break the body, lachnir, to subdue it, shelayach shechal er anafesh, and it shouldn't darken the revelation of the soul. In other words, the soul wants to be revealed, right? The body is not letting it. So how do you get rid of it? In other words, it's like a coconut, you know? You got the fruit inside. You have the fruit inside. But it's a very hard shell on the outside. You want to break that shell, you can't just bang it. You gotta get rid of it. It's a lot of work. And he says, Kamesha Kosilil, like he quoted before from the Zohar, the goof of the Lisalik bein the Nishmasa, a body that the light of the Neshama doesn't catch on to it, Mevatchinly, you have to break it. He wrote, quoted before from the Zayar the following. You know, you want to light a bonfire? You want to light a fire? So you have a thick log. And you can take a match and light it. It's too thick. It's not going to catch on. What do you need to do? You need to bust it into little pieces. And then you light a little piece. Then you light a little bit bigger and bigger and bigger until you look and light the whole log. So the Zohar says that's the analogy of the soul and the body. The soul is the fire of God. It wants to ignite the body with godliness. But the body is too thick and coarse. So the Zohar says, what do? Take an axe and chop your body up. Not literally. Figuratively, you have to bust the body. What does that mean, bust the body? You know, in fact, even in Ayem Yem recently, the Rebbe writes, it's not what we're supposed to be doing. Yesterday's Ayem Yem. It says, you work with the body. Breaking the body was misinterpreted until the time of the Baal Shem Tov. People, breaking the body meant for them, fasting, torturing themselves. They used to roll naked in ant hives to get all bitten up, just to break the... Don't do it at home.
No, that sounds very unpleasant.
But that's what they used to do, because they felt, and this interesting difference between pre-Baal Shem and the Baal Shem Tov's teaching of Chassidus that he taught, they maintained body and soul contradict one another. So if you want to get to the soul, you got to break the body. How do you break the body? By torturing the body. Fasting, not giving in, torturing yourself, you know, get bitten up, just torture your body. And he thought, through that, the neshama will be able to be revealed in the body, because the body is not that thick anymore. Here now, the Rebbe is speaking about breaking the body, but I'll tell you what it means. The Baal Shem Tov said, instead of breaking the body, work with the body. Utilize the body for serving God. But what does it mean, breaking the body? It means not giving in to the additional temptations and desires of the body. We're not talking about hurting yourself and fasting. Eat. But eat to live and don't live to eat. You know what I mean? Or you want to do something, you have a desire to do something. And we're not talking about health-wise. I really want to do something, I don't do it. Just to break. Not by torturing the body. It's something I don't even need. I want this dessert, you know, and I'm not going to do it. Just to break the body. They tell a story, a famous story, the Shmuel Munkus, who was one of the great chassidim of the Alter Rebbe. The chassidim, where they're having a farbrengen, and they ran out of food. Whiskey they had, but they didn't have food. Then you need a chaser. So it's the middle of the night. They sent somebody to the butcher to get some meat for the farbrengen. And Rav Shmuel Munkus was leading the farbrengen. And when the guy brought back the meat, it had to be a lung. They used to eat lungs in those days. Whatever. That's what it says in the story, that it was a lung. So when he saw that the chassidim really were waiting for this lung, he grabbed it from the guy and didn't give it to the chassidim. He didn't give it to them. And he started dancing around with it, running away from everybody. Finally, he got to a point they were catching him. So he took the meat and he threw it into the garbage. Not a garbage can like today, you could take it out and use it. Finished. The chassidim wanted to kill him. I mean, you know, they're waiting for this. All of a sudden, the butcher came running. He said, guys, don't eat the meat. By mistake, I gave you a non-kosher piece of meat. Don't eat it. So now the chassidim says, oh, So Rabbi Shmuel Mokins is doing miracles. He knew it was treif, and he. So we have to beat him up because Chassidim didn't do miracles. If a Chassid did a miracle, other Chassidim would beat him up out of love, but they would just beat him up. So they said to him, "Why are you doing it? Are you doing a miracle?" He said, "It wasn't a miracle." He said, "I'm telling you the truth, it wasn't a miracle." He said, "One of the first things I learned when I became a Chassid, that something you really want, there's something wrong with it. Because why would the Yetzer Hara want it so much? The fact that the Yetzer Hara wants it so much is because there's something wrong with it." So he said, "When I saw you guys with that desire for the meat, I had a gut feeling something, based on what I learned in Chassidus, there's something wrong with it. And the more you try getting it for me, the more I realized there was something wrong with it. And when you almost caught up to me and you got it, so then I threw it into the garbage. But it wasn't a miracle. It was just because you guys wanted it so much, I knew there was something wrong with it." Or later on in Tanya, the Alter Rebbe says another interesting point. The Gemara goes through the various different times that people ate in the day. The gangsters ate the first hour of the day because they were up all night. The robbers, you know. And then it's something like this. The fourth hour is when everybody eats.
Is that noon?
Whatever. People ate two meals a day those days. They ate brunch and dinner. So it says, regular people eat 4 hours in the day. The scholars ate the sixth hour of the day. So in Tanya, the Alter Rebbe asks, it doesn't make sense. The scholars learned the whole day. They learned before eating, and they learned after eating. So why couldn't they eat when everybody else ate? Because they're learning anyway before and after. So what's the difference if they're eating the fourth hour to sixth hour? They're learning the whole day anyway. And the Alter Rebbe explains an interesting point. The scholars wanted just to break their desire for food. Even though they learned before and learned after, they said, you know what, we're not eating when everybody, we want to break ourselves. It wasn't dangerous getting bitten up or fasting or doing something like that. Just to break the desires that they had. And that's what the Alter Rebbe says. You want to reveal the fire of the neshama in your body. If your body is spiritually thick and coarse and mundane, the fire of the neshama will never catch on. You have to bust the body, figuratively, by breaking the desires of the body, and then you use the body to help you serve God. And he said that's how you reveal the neshama. If the person is very coarse, how in the world do you expect them to have the neshama kindled? The fire can't catch on to something thick and coarse. And he says, lachnia to subdue it. Like the Zohar says, gufa d'leisarek bein nehered neshmasa. A body that the fire of the neshama doesn't catch on, mevachin lei. How? How do you break the body? He says, not by fasting and all that. He says, "Aidei hirhuri tshuva, by thoughts of tshuva, of repentance, me'eimek kalev, from the depth of the heart, like the Zohar writes about." Meaning, feeling bad about your level. Tshuva, what he's saying over here is another interesting point. The world maintains, tshuva, if you sinned, you have to repent. Correct? If you don't sin, you don't repent. The Zohar says completely different, and Alter Rebbe in the third part of Geres Teshuva says completely different. The Zohar says that one of the accomplishments of Mashiach, Mashiach comes, is even tzaddikim are going to do tshuva. And the opponents of the Alter Rebbe, when the Alter Rebbe was imprisoned, they couldn't handle that because they said, you mean you're telling us that we sin and therefore we need to do tshuva, but we're tzaddikim, we're holy people. Why are you telling us we have to repent? And the Alter Rebbe said to them, tshuva doesn't mean to repent. Tshuva means to return to a greater level. In other words, like this. It's criminal, in Chassidic language, it's criminal not to know who you are. It's criminal. What does it mean to know who you are? Not to make yourself less than you are, and not to make yourself more than you are. You need to know who you are. We cannot fool ourselves either way. We cannot fool ourselves to think we're better than we are, which all of us do anyway. And we can't fool ourselves, Siddur says, that we should think we're worse than we are. Why? Because a person needs to know the God-given talents that God gives us. Right? If a person has a talent, and they're going to say, no, I'm no good, they're wasting that talent God gave them. If somebody can play music, and they say, no, I think I'm awful, that's terrible. Because God gave you a talent of music, utilize it for good things. Or whatever it may be. Just, and like Chassidus says, just like we need to know our faults, equally important, we need to know our greatness. So what's the concept of tshuva? That we break the body with? Not to say I'm no good. That's a lie. What it means is, as good as I am, I really should be better. So why do I think I'm God or God's gift to the world if I really should be better than I am? Not, God forbid, I'm no good. It's a terrible thing to think I'm no good. Besides the complexes, then the therapist will make money on you and they won't get anywhere anyway with you. You don't need therapy in Chassidus. Torah says you need to know exactly who you are. Not to think of yourself any worse than you are, but at the same time, realize I'm good, but I really should be better. That humility is actually breaks the ego of the body. Because that's true ego, so to speak. It's not false ego that, that I'm no good, and you say, oh, I'm no good. That's a lie. That's no good. You're supposed to know who you are. If somebody's smart, they're not supposed to say, oh, no, I'm stupid, I'm dumb. I mean, look, that's stupid to say, or whatever it is. What they need to understand is, yeah, I'm smart, but I shouldn't think I'm great because of it, because I really should be smarter than I am. And greater than I am, and accomplish more than I am. And that's the first way of breaking the body. It's a difficult job, Dr. Rebbe says. To break the body's ego to allow the neshama to catch on fire. To catch the body on fire. That's stage one. Vashenis, and the second level is like this. That is, the first one is the work of the body. Right, to break the body. Second one is to break the work of the soul. What do you mean the work of the soul? Who yigias hanefesh, the effort of the soul. Shleitich b'dolel avoda. Okay, that it shouldn't be burdensome. Liga machshavta, to delve the mind. Lahamik, to go deep. Ulizbein in begedulas Hashem, to meditate into the greatness of Hashem. Sha'achas, one, G'dayla Ritzufa. Okay? He says like this. A person, you know, sometimes the concentration span is, limited. You have to work with yourself to be able to concentrate on godly matters longer. That's not a body work, that's a soul work. To work with yourself, like he says, it shouldn't be a burden to delve your mind, lizbeinim begedulas Hashem, to meditate into the greatness of Hashem, shagdeilu ritzufa for an extended, long hour, kishir sha'azu, eina shava b'chol nefesh, because the level of meditation is not equal by everybody. You know, there's certain kids that have concentration span of about 2 minutes. Some adults have a concentration span of 1 minute. You have to know each person the level that they're able to handle and work on it to extend it. In other words, like this. The ultimate goal is to meditate into the greatness of God, which stimulates feelings. Okay? Hashem set up the human being, and this is in life, not even in Torah. Intellect stimulates feelings. When you meditate how great something is, you will come to love it. Why do people love things? Because they understand how good it is. Or, if you meditate into the awesomeness of God, that will stimulate a fear of God. Now, the more you meditate, the greater the mida, the greater the feeling. The more you meditate, the more love you'll have. The more you meditate into the awesomeness of Hashem, the more fear you'll have of God. And he says, the person has to work with himself to extend this meditation that they have, to extend it, to make it longer, to create even stronger feelings. The more you meditate, the stronger feelings you have. The less you meditate, the lesser feelings you have. So what's the job of the soul? To make an effort that it shouldn't be burdensome. A person should be able to meditate into the greatness of God for an extended period of time.
So do we have control of our soul? I mean, are we actually in tune with, I mean, we're, I don't know if we're in tune, but isn't it sort of this lofty kind of love being in charge of your soul?
Are you your body or your soul?
Well, I
who are you?
Both. But
okay, so the soul is you too.
Right, but do we really consciously know what our soul is, what's going on? I mean, it's sort of there's...
We need to be, that's what he's saying. We need to be conscious of the soul. We need to be conscious of the soul.
And we can be?
Yeah. What's the soul? The intellect, the emotions. Correct? The more you stimulate godly intellect, godly emotions, the more in touch you are with yourself.
Godly,
yeah. Yeah.
To be
you know, we learned in the past, when the Talmud says something, besides the fact they were brilliant, yeah, and godly and everything, but they knew what they were talking about. Okay? The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, in ethics it says, there is no free person, only one that occupies himself in Torah mitzvahs. It doesn't say a person who's free occupies in Torah mitzvahs. It says, there is no freedom unless one who occupies himself in Torah mitzvahs. Okay? Which means, Torah mitzvahs, Yiddishkeit, no matter for Jews now, yeah? Yiddishkeit is the only freedom. Yeah? That's the statement. Now, you stop to think for a second, it really doesn't make sense. The most restricted religion is ours. From the second you wake up in the morning until you go to sleep at night, the Torah tells you how to wake up, how to wash your hands, how to shower, how to go to the bathroom, how to eat, how to work, how to go to sleep at night, right? From A to Z. Torah says you got to think this way, talk this way, and do this way. 24/7. So what does that mean when the Mishnah says there is no freedom unless you do Torah mitzvahs? On the contrary, it's the most restrictive thing of Torah mitzvahs. Right? Think about it. I'll be free. No, I don't have to do it. So what's the explanation of this? The explanation is phenomenal. Freedom means when I control myself and nobody else controls me. Correct? That's the definition of freedom. If somebody controls me, I am not free. We are so unaware of how the world controls us. For instance, what we wear is decided by fashion people. Okay? What we eat and the way we eat is dictated by people. Okay? The press controls us. The media controls us. Society controls us. We do it because that's what you're supposed to be doing. Right? That means everybody else is controlling me. You can elaborate on each thing, okay? Now, even a person who's an intellectual and says, what I think is right, and what I think is wrong is wrong. That means they are controlled by their mind. Is the mind me? The mind is not me. There's me in my mind, right? A parent doesn't love the kid more because they're smarter or less because they're not so smart. You don't know, the person is not the mind, right? A person doesn't have to be brilliant and the parent loves them because they love the person, not the mind. It's part, but it's not the person. It's not the person. Mm-hmm. Are you more person if you have a better mind?
No, I've been
okay, that means it's not you. It's part of you, but it's not you. So many people, by the way, worship their intellect. Many people worship their desires. I want, I do. Right? People do. As much as we think it's freedom, it's not. Because I am not in control over myself. My feelings control me. My mind controls me. Society controls me. Fashion controls me. Media controls me. Everything. Sports controls me. Actors control me. Yeah. Huh?
Or your cell phone. Has fashion changed how you dressed a lot recently?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, very much. Now.
Okay.
Who is the person? Whoever it, the person is, they're neshama. That's who I really am. Not my mind, not my feelings. My mind could change, my feelings could change. Right? I can like this one day, one day, this another day. I can like fish one day and meat another day. Okay, it's not me. Who is me? My neshama is me. That's me, right? Now, my neshama, which is a part of God, wants Torah mitzvahs. So, wanting Torah mitzvahs is me really doing what me wants. What I want. You understand? Nobody else is controlling me. And nothing outside of me is controlling me. And this is what the Mishnah says. The only freedom is when you control yourself. Meaning, when your neshama, which is you, by the way, like you were saying before, neshama is you, you are controlled by yourself. That's real freedom. And nothing else is. People think they're really free to do what they want, dress they want. It's not true. You have no idea how much we're controlled by everything out there.
When you hear from the world,
talk louder, please. We reach an age hard of hearing.
What he said.
I said, talk louder.
See, in the real world, like you hear, you talk to people, and they're saying to you, "You guys are controlled by all these, you know, these godly things."
God, is that not me?
They're being controlled.
They're not being controlled by the sports guys and the Olympics and everything else is going on.
So arguing about it, but I just, it's always a, you know, like...
You have to tell them they're more controlled by other forces than we are.
That's true.
Including their anger against God.
No, go whatever it is, everything. Doesn't matter.
Who controls them?